Okay, Rabosai, today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Tet. And we have been in the middle of the very fascinating Chiddush of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said that even though the Torah tells us that if he is Shotekla, he only has until the end of the day to be Mefer, that actually, Tainas Rabbi Chanina, it depends what that shtika is. So if that shtika was to think it over, or if that shtika was thinking that he's going to be Mekayim it, or if that shtika actually was a Kiyam Beliba, now those are cases where obviously afterwards you're not going to be able to be made for the Torah. It's at the end of 24 hours, according to one sheet, to the end of the day, that's it. But what if, as we saw yesterday, what if he actually is being quiet as an act of, actually, act of passive aggressivity is a little bit of an oxymoron. How can it be an act of passive, but all right. So that it's an expression of passive aggressiveness. So that basically what he's doing is he's cutting off communications. I'm going to discuss this with you, you idiot, and so on. So then that's not included in shtika. Because shtika means, the way that Rabbi Chanina understood it in all of these cases, is that he was shotek without any of these intents, and he's trying to work things out, or possibly at the end of the period, to allow it to be mekuyam. That's what we were talking about, and we've been trying to bring a raya against Rabbi Chanina, and we started yesterday by bringing half of the braita. The last half went way above the time that we had allotted for the daf, and went into the next stuff. So let's just review it again, starting from one line up on Ayin Chet Amud Beit, so that we'll remember the Braita. So Rav Chista is trying to show that Rabbi Chanina's understanding of different types of shtika has no basis. And what's my Raya? From this Braita, take a look at this, says Rav Chista. Chomer behakem mi behefer, u behefer mi behakem. So in certain ways, we're more machmir in the dinim of hakama than we are in hafara. And in certain ways, we're more machmir in the dinim of hakama than we are in hafara. So let's start with the latter. Where do we find hakama being more chomer than hafara? Well, one thing is, shtika is enough to be mekayem, but you cannot be mevatel through shtika, as we saw. I mean, in a sense, you can, you know, if you do a maisa and you give her a drink and she asks her scotch and you hand her the scotch, but that's not considered to be shtika. So just shtika is mekayemet, but shtika itself will not be mevatelet. Another thing that's more chomer, if you're mekayem belibo, then that's kiyum. So you're finished. You're not going to be able now to do anything about it. But if you were mefer belibo, so then, that's not considered to be hafara. And there you would have to be motzi misvara, misforsav. In one way, kiyem and hafara are the same. In that, kiyem eino yochol hafer, hafer eino yochol kayem. Now, this is only the first part, obviously, because we didn't discuss yet. And how is it the other way around? How is it that we find that hafara is more chomer than hakama? That we're going to get to later. But this is the part of the braita that we did yesterday. And the raya that Rav Chista is bringing against Rabbi Chanina is from the Lashon of Shotek. And he says, look, I mean, if it says over here that shtika, and it doesn't say what type of shtika, it simply says shtika of any type is ipso facto kiyum. Mashma, doesn't matter why he's being shotek. And if it were a difference, then, I mean, wouldn't we have to mention that difference? It's just saying being quiet for the remainders of the day is considered to be a hakoma. And that's all there is to it, which is not true according to Rabbi Chanina. Now, Rabbi Chanina, of course, could say, I don't know that that's true. I mean, maybe it just means over here that he's b'shotek in order to be mikayim. So maybe what he's doing right now is he actually is b'mekayim. And then, of course, we have the problem. If it means to actually be mekayim, So then why is that different than Kiyem Belibo Kiyem? Obviously, it can't mean that he really wanted to be Mekayem it. Ela b'shotek stam. So really, it's talking about that he was shotek in order to be able to think it over. Fine. So we don't have a kasha Rebbe Chanina from here. However, you have piqued our curiosity. I mean, you told us half of the story. You didn't tell us the other half of the story. And the other half of the story was, you claimed that there's not only Chomer Ba'akemi Ba'afer, which you showed us now, but you also claim that Chomer Ba'afer Mi Ba'akem. Can you show me that? Where is it more Chomer in the Tna'im of Hakama? Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Well, it's very simple. When it comes to, when it comes to Hakama, you can cancel it. Because you can go to a Chacham, since the Hakama is your part in the Neder, you can go to a Chacham, or to a Bezdin, and they can now be Eiker, that Hakama, in which case you're, once again, you opened up the rest of the day to be able to do Hafara. But once you did a Hafara, there is no way, as we learned earlier, there's no way to be Mavatel a Hafara. Because the Hafara is not similar to the act of the Neder itself. You were Mavatel it. So what are you going to do now? How can you undo a Bittel? Okay, so now we've got no Kasha. Now we understand Rebbe Chanina. Everything seems to be on track. So Masiv Rav Kahana, but I have a problem. It says in the Brayta, Ima Charesh Yacharish La Isha, and that apparently it says under all circumstances, it says over here in the Brayta itself, and that would seem to imply that even Bishotek Amenat L'meikata Katuv Medaber. So the Brayta directly addresses Rebbe Chanina's assumption and says it's wrong. But then the Brayta asks on itself, how do you know? Ata omer b'shotek amanat l'meikat. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it's b'shotek amanat l'kayem. Now, this is a bit confusing, okay, because a minute ago we used these words, shotek amanat l'kayem, to mean that he had an intention to actually be mekayem b'lev. Now, and therefore we were able to ask, well, I mean, that's not called shotek. That's called kiyem b'libo. And that is correct. That's not the way we're using the words now. Now we understand that shotek amanat l'kayem means that he is being quiet in order that at the end of the day, the default should go into effect. But he doesn't want to be personally responsible for her nadarim. So then let's think about this. That means that essentially we have four different levels of how we've been understanding or using that word shotek. We had the shotek amanat l'kayem that we just spoke about before and yesterday, where we thought that meant he wants to actually be mekayem. Well, that we said, that's crazy, because wouldn't that always be included as kiyem b'libo? Okay, but the language still, we were ready to say that that's called a type of shtika. The next level of shtika would be the way we're using shotek amanat l'kayem here. I really want the neder to be chal, but I don't want to play an active role in being the guy that's going to put my wife into this position of possibly being over on a neder. So therefore, I say, I'm going to be quiet, but I'm going to be quiet because I know at the end of the day, the neder is going to be in effect, and that's what I want. That's how we're using the word shotek amanat l'kayem now. There's another shtika, which would be a shtika because I haven't made up my mind. That we called until now shotek stam, right? I don't have a clear-cut understanding of what I'm going to be doing in the course of the day. And then we have Rebbe Chanina shtika. Rebbe Chanina shtika is, I'm not really being shotek. I'm screaming. It just looks like I'm being shotek. She's getting the message. Boy, is he angry. He refuses to talk about it. So that's not called shotek. That's just, all right, when I cool down, then we'll start thinking about it. Right now, I'm not talking to you. So that's not shotek. That was Rebbe Chanina's chiddush. Now, the Braita now questions itself. How do I know that when the Torah says, Im acharesh yacharish la isha, that what that means is that he was quiet specifically with a particular thing intent in mind? I mean, I don't see how you know that this means even b'shoteka amanat lemekat. How do you know? Maybe it actually would only mean b'shoteka amanat lekayem, meaning to let the kiyam go into effect at the end of the day. Where do you get the idea that the pasuk means what you're claiming? That even b'shoteka amanat lemekat hakatuv mendaber. And this is the first time, gentlemen, that we're really getting into a deeper analysis of the way that the Torah phrases the whole idea of the Shtikat HaBaal. And here, for the first time, we get to understand the Ramazim in the Pasuk. Let's listen to the Pasuk first ourselves and think about it. V'im hacharesh yacharish la'isha. So then we have the miyom el yom. V'hekim et kol nedoreha, o et kol esoreha. Hekim otam ki hacharesh la biyom shamo. What does that mean? That if he was quiet, so then he essentially was Mekayim. How was he Mekayim? By shutting up. It's a very bit overdone, don't you think, the Pasuk? I mean, if you're just coming to tell me the idea that not doing anything about it allows it to go into effect by default, and then you say at the end, but essentially what he's done is he's been Mekayim. So what is the point of this repetition over here? That's the question. And now, for the first time, we're going to get into an understanding of that Pasuk in a deeper way. And that is, the meaning, as the Braita explains it, is like this. How do you know it's talking about b'shoteka amanat lemekat? Maybe it's talking about b'shoteka amanat lekayem, meaning passive kiyum at the end of the day. Why do I say that? Maybe it means b'shoteka amanat lekayem now. I say that because that's not called shotek. That's called kiyum belev, and we already asked that kasha before. So that's really leaves us with only three madregas of shtika. To say that a shtika amanat lekayem, that's kiyum belev. Throw that out of the set of shtikas. So how many shtikas do we have in that set? Three. Shotek amanat, to allow the kiyum to come into effect at the end of the day. Shotek amanat, to think it over and see what I decide by the end of the day. And shotek, because I want to teach her a lesson and get her nervous, and I don't want to talk to her. Okay, so how do we know that all three types of shtika are going to be included in the default kiyum? That's the kasha that the Braita is asking on itself, on its own assertion, shalok Rabbi Hanina. And it answers, because, look, if it was really shotek amanat kayem at the end of the day, okay, then think about that. Didn't it say at the end of the pasuk, you were essentially mekayim that neder because ki hecharish la beyom shomo? What does that say? That's saying that if you wanted that neder to be allowed to go into effect when you were quiet, sure enough, it goes into effect. Okay, that's level super A of close to Afara, of close to Kiyam. I wasn't really Mekayim, but I was waiting for the Neder to go into effect at the end of the day. So that it already says. So then explain to my Rebbe Shotek Amanat Lekayem HaKatuv Medaber. A shtika that allows the Neder to go into effect at the end of the day, that's what the Pasuk is referring to. In effect, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiyem La. Because he was shotekla, acharishla, right? Now, how do you understand the beginning of the pasuk? V'im acharesh yacharishla isha. What's that referring to? Ah, that must be referring to aman imekayem. Im acharesh yacharishla isha. That's talking about Rabbi Hanina's case. And that is talking about passively aggressive shtika. Wait a minute. Hold on, says the Braita to itself. So, how can you say that? Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I skipped. So now we have a tiyufta. Fine, so the Braita is saying, not like Rabbi Hanina, ask the Gemara against the Braita. Wait, excuse me, but you jumped from Shotek Amanat HaKayem on the end of the day to the opposite case of where the shtika was specifically to teach her a lesson, not to be Mekayim, okay? I mean, why don't you talk about the middle case? You left out the middle. The middle case is Shotek in this case at the end of the pasuk. Yes, we're talking about the kayim at the end of the day. The opening of the pasuk Imacharesh Yacharish was referring to Shotek Stam, where he was going to make up his mind. But where'd you get the idea that it's referring to Shotek Amanat Lemekat? Isn't that an obvious question? Answers the Gemara, you're not listening to the Braita. The Braita is pointing out that you've got three references to Shtika. They're Kroyetera, Hacharesh, A, Yacharish, B, Ki Hecharish, C. That's the point that the Braita is making. So if I know from the end of the pasuk ki hecharish la biyom shamo, that that's referring to a case where he wants the neder to go into effect, but he wants it to go into effect by passively not saying anything, but just, I can't wait till it goes into effect at the end of the day. The first one would refer to imacharish, refers to stam. Why does the Torah repeat Yacharish? Oh, that must be coming to tell me even Rabbi Hanina's case of Chirish Almanat Lemekat. Beautiful. So now we have finished off Rabbi Hanina and forget about it. There's no recovery. This is a real tiyufta of Rabbi Hanina. Masiv Rava. Rava wants to ask another kasha on Rabbi Hanina to say, I mean, for heaven's sakes, how long do you want to keep beating on a dead horse? I mean, like Rabbi Hanina's horse is kapoti. And we often do this because what happens if somebody gives CPR to the horse, you know? And then he starts getting up again. We want to keep him down, so we keep shooting. I'll ask another tiyufta just in case you got an answer to this one. So, okay, what's the other tiyufta? So Rava says, the Mishnah. What do we need a bright? And the Mishnah is a tiyufta. Why? Because the Mishnah, this is a brilliant kasha, guys. You're going to love this. Brilliant kasha. So the Mishnah says that if she makes a neder right before the end of the day on Shabbos, so the halacha is that he can be mefer for her in those last few minutes, right? She'im lo ha'fer, if he doesn't, and the sun sets, and the stars come out, we got problems. He's never going to be able to be made for again, right? Let me ask you something. This is, I'm telling you, it's marvelous, Kasha. If the guy was quiet because he wanted to teach her a lesson, and that's not called to be shosek, which is what Rabbi Hanina claims. So if the guy is quiet because the Rabbanan said, do not do afars to Darim on Shabbos, you bum, that's going to be worse. He's being quiet for a specific reason that is not meant to be a shtika that involves the neder. The Rabbanan said, I can't do that there. What am I supposed to do? So you tie me up and you close my mouth and then you say, well, he was shotek. According to Rabbi Hanina, that's not called shotek, even if I was just being passive-aggressive. Alach has kama v'kama, if I am unable to say anything because the Rabbanan tied me up and said, don't you dare say a word. So how is that a reason to be made for a neder on Shabbos, for heaven's sakes? Right after Shabbos, now you have a day to be made for the neder. Because on the day that you were quiet, you were being quiet for nothing to do with the neder. You were being quiet, passive-aggressive, or you were being quiet because Rabbanah made you be quiet, okay? Does that not show that Rabbi Hanina makes no sense? If being quiet for other purposes is not considered to be being quiet, call she came being quiet because I was tied up and they put a mask over me. For sure, we'll put that mask back on, God, we're doing a show and tell today, right? So just because they put the mask over me, what does that mean? Okay, is that beautiful? So, I mean, understanding the implications of Rabbi Hanina, the Mishnah stopped making sense. Oh, asks Rava, am I? It's not going to be worse than a case of Le'avik Yishotek Amanat Lemekat, which according to Rabbi Hanina, allows you to now start your day the next day. So the whole Mishnah doesn't make sense. Well, you better be made for on Shabbos, because if not, it's going to go into effect. It won't go into effect. Relax. Cool off, baby. Rabbi Chanina says it's not considered to be a shtika. Tiyufta, amazing. It turns out, hidden right there in the Mishnah all along, was exactly the issue that Rabbi Chanina had raised. Another brilliant incorporation of the variations of Nidorim experiences by Rebbe. 13 variations. All right. William James would have a heart attack.
I didn't get it. Could Rebbe say over the question again?
What do you mean? Say over the question again. I was already silent after the question. Now I used up my ability to explain it. And the question is this. If according to Rabbi Chanina, a shtika that is coming from somewhere else other than my relationship to the neder is not considered to be shtika, even where that shtika is a choice by me, but for some other reason, I'm being shotek just to show my wife that I'm not going to talk to her today, right? That's not called shtika. So if somebody ties me up and puts a mask over me, that is shtika. If the Rabbanan tell me, don't you dare say that this is not a neder today. So I have no choice. Okay, so I'm being shotek. That's not called shotek to the neder. That's called shotek for some other issue. And Rabbi Chanina says, some other issue is not called shtika. Right? And the Mishnah says it is called shtika. Because if you're not going to be made for the neder today on Shabbos, you'll never be able to be made for the neder. Why not? I only was quiet because the Rabbanan said, don't do a first and darim on Shabbos. You understand now? Good. So, a beautiful insight into the Mishnah. Ravashi says, okay, but you only shot the horse twice. I figure I got another bolt. Masi Ravashi. Let me ask you another tiyufta on Rabbi Chanina. Also from a Mishnah. Mishnah later on. Remember, actually not remember, because we never specifically mentioned this. Only those who have been learning the Rambam, they know. So a guy says, Yodea ani shiyesh nedarim, aval eni yodea shiyesh befirim. Let's say a guy says, you know, I heard my wife's neder, but I never heard of this idea. A husband can be made for a neder? Wow. So over there, the halacha is, when he finds out, then he becomes the day of the Shmiah. Why? Because the meaning of the day of the Shmiah is not the physical hearing about the neder. It's the deeper sense of what Shmiah means in Lashon HaKodesh. That is to say, I am aware of something that causes a response in me. That's why when we say that I hear you, or we say, well, I don't hear that. We don't mean I don't hear it. Certainly the nerve endings in my brain from my ear are equally responsive to I hear it or I don't hear it. When we're talking about I hear it or I don't hear it, it means, well, I don't take that seriously, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, it makes no difference to me. I don't hear that. So therefore, when it says in the Torah about Shmiat HaBaal, it means he hears it in a way that would elicit a response. Now, if the guy had no idea that a neder of his wife can actually bring a response from a husband, so then that's not called hearing it. I didn't hear it. I found out about it. I mean, what is that after? But I couldn't have responded. So there everybody is meida that your day of Shmiah begins at the moment that you find out, you discover this amazing fact that if your wife made a neder, you're empowered to be made for the neder. Great. Now, how about if the guy says, I know that this is a neder, I know that a husband can be made for a neder, but I know that it's very complicated. A husband doesn't get a right to any neder, as we're going to see in a minute, and this is a main introduction of the coming perek, for which Richie is currently gargling and getting all ready for. So the idea is, I had no idea that this was the type of neder that a husband would be able to be made for. I thought that this was out of my control. Now, how about that? Is that considered to be a Shmiah? Or because I say I didn't know it was the kind of neder, that it's already not Shmiah? Now, that's machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, well, it's too late if it was after the day of Shmiah, so then that is considered to be the Yom HaShmiyah, because it elicited the response already of, I got to think about this, I got to find out about it. Is this the kind of neder? Should I respond to this neder? Can I respond to the neder? That's not called not hearing. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, there needs to be a clear-cut responsiveness, and therefore the day that you discover that this neder was actually yours to deal with, that's the Yom HaShmiyah, not before there. Now, here is my problem with Rabbi Chanina, says Ravash. If according to Rabbi Chanina, the point of shtika is a shtika that is in reference to the neder and is not coming from something else, it's not coming from the fact that I'm angry and therefore I'm not talking to you today. So then why, if the shtika is coming from, I don't know that I'm able to do anything about this, I mean, why is that any different? He's being quiet because he doesn't feel empowered. So maybe not feeling empowered and passive aggression is the same thing. I mean, so why would anybody say that you're sorry, it's too late, you already heard? That's what Rabbi Meir is saying. I mean, the guy can say, and if I wasn't talking to my wife that day because I was angry at her and trying to prove something, would you say the same thing? Obviously, Rabbi Meir would say, yes, I would say the same thing. So, and the Rabbanan aren't arguing about that issue, right? They're just saying this is the question of whether it's called Yom Shamo, but as to whether it's considered to be a shtika, everybody here has agreed that it is a shtika, despite the fact that the reason that he's being quiet is because he lacks empowerment, which should be no different than the case of Rabbi Chanina. He's being shotek because he's mad. Therefore, we have yet a third tiyufta on poor Rabbi Chanina. Okay, Rabbi Chanina is very tolerant. I mean, we know that. He's such a sweetheart. I mean, they don't call him Rabbi Chanina for nothing. But you must admit, it's painful to close the parak with the word tiyufta, especially when it's against Rabbi Chanina. And yet, that's what we have done. Which reminds me, that was also on the same day as the levaya of Chacham Shimon Ba'adani, that I must tell you was in, well, I don't know, was as a youngster, when I knew him, was incredibly sweet, just like this idea, Molechein, biggest anav you could imagine, sweetest person to talk to, and it's really, really a loss. So I want to mention him because it's mamash now, the yeshiva. We should remember Chacham Shimon Ba'adani. As you know, Rabarnea, next door to me in the old city, that was his apartment, and that is now inhabited by his grandson. So I needed to do that just to get ahead of Barnea, because I know what was coming. It's my neighborhood. And now we are ready for Hadran Alach Na'ara Hamu'urasa.
Bli Neder.
And so, in classic multi-layered construction of the Gemara, we just happen to have ended up with the words, and I don't know that this is the kind of neder which I was able to be made for, and the very next Mishnah and the next parak is, what kind of neder can you be made for, right? So we always do that. So the Gemara is arranged in such a way, it's multi-level, it always appears to be coming for some other reason, but it always introduces the next parak. So, okay, so we have here a lovely introduction. What exactly are the nedarim that a Baal can be made for? By the way, when we're talking about the Baal being made for, how about limitations on the Av being made for? How about that? Is it exactly the same or not? Interestingly enough, we have a major machlokas rishonim in this. The Rambam paskins that a father can be made for any neder at all, and that all of these issues of nedarim beino leveina, or nedarim of nidrei inui nefesh, which we're going to learn out from Pesukim, are meaningful only vis-a-vis the Baal, not in terms of the husband. Now, there's a big problem with that Rambam. And the big problem with the Rambam is that it says Beferish in the Sifrei, not like that. It says Beferish in the Sifrei that since the Pasuk put together Ben Av Labito, Ben Ish Leishto, so then obviously it's the same halacha, right? That the Pasuk is saying there's a Hekesh Ben Av Labito. I mean, it's really the other way around. Ben Ish Leishto and Ben Av Labito. How did the Rambam just throw that out the window? And this is a classic insight into the Rambam's Derech HaPsak, Rabbi Isai. The Rambam wrote a tshuva in which he explained why it is that he did not paskin like this Sifri. And the truth is that anybody who's aware of the meaning of the intricacies of the Rambam's Hakdama to Sefer Mishneh Torah will immediately understand on his own, without the Rambam saying it, why he disagreed. How does he have a right to disagree with the Sifrei? So the point is that the Rambam Shita is that the final psak for Yisrael that is binding is only the psak of the Gemara, because that was the last time that you had a combination of all of the Shitot of the Misera of Yisrael that paskined essentially as a Bezdin in passing on the Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi. Anything that's outside of that is very useful for explaining, but it's not useful for paskining, because psak is not about what I think. It would have been if there wouldn't have been this last Bezdin, which was the end of Smicha and the end of a Bezdin that was qualified to paskin for the entire Klal Yisrael, because everyone was represented in this. And remember that according to the Rambam, the concept of Klal Yisrael in terms of Psak is mind-bogglingly real, because the Rambam comes up with the idea that nobody knows where the heck you get up, come up with this idea. This is the Rambam's working out the implications of how he understands the Misera of Torah, in which the Rambam says, if all the Chachmei Yisrael get together and they give someone smicha, that is a smicha, as if it came from Moshe Rabbeinu, even though there was no more smicha. Why? Because it represents the full corpus of Torah that is extant in Yisrael. So what more can they be? That is smicha. This, of course, led to historical issues in Barnea's neighborhood, which happens to also be Gavi's neighborhood at this point. And I think it's more actively Gavi's neighborhood, especially since, as far as I last heard, he inhabits the very home of Rabbi Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch right there. This is the reason that he's doing his Anki cards so well. Okay. It could be Gavi. It really could be. We don't know where the house was, but we know that that's where he was. It's only reasonable that you're living in that same house. Anyway.
The local Masara of the chutzner below the shul behind it is where he saw the Malach.
Well, it wasn't a Malach. It was a, okay.
The Megid Mishara.
The Magid, yeah. Okay.
I met a person who was looking for a house in Tzfat, mm-hmm. and he was there for a month. And he went to the Kibbutz mm-hmm. of Yosef Karo and said, you're the Mar mm-hmm. the Astra here. I need to find a house. And then he came out, and that was for rent. He rented it from the Gabbai who watches the shul. And sometime later, the Gabbai said, you know, this is from Yosef Kaimo's, you know, courtyard.
Right. So, but he did not write the Shulchan Aruch there. The Shulchan Aruch was written during a COVID outbreak. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef Karo left Tzfat so that he would not die in the Magefa and moved to Gavi's. And that's where the Shulchan Aruch was written. It was not written in Tzfat, even though that's where he was living. That's why I'm saying it. I'm not saying it as a, just because it's a general neighborhood, obviously. Right? It says he went to Birya. It says the name of the town. He went to Birya to write the Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, so, says the Mishnah, the Elo Nedarim Shuhumeif. Ah, yeah, so I was telling you, so the Psak and the Rambam here is very simple, as the Rambam himself writes in the Tshuva. Neither the Talmud Bavli nor the Talmud Yerushalmi makes any mention of this Sifre. There's no record of this Hekesh being accepted lahalacha. You cannot trust something that is not backed up and that should be there and isn't there. And therefore, I hold that the Gemara paskin against the Sifrei. That's all. So I'm not paskin like that. Show me one place where there's even a remez in the Shas that these concepts of Beino Leveino and all of them only have to do with a husband. They're talking about intimate issues, and which certainly are not applicable to Bein Av Levito. And therefore, the Gemara, in not saying that, is making it very clear that they don't hold for such hakish. That's all. And there's a totally different meaning of Bein Av Levito than there is Bein Ish Leishto. What are you going to say? Okay, beautiful. So anyway, we have a big machlokas. Are the following nedarim that we're about to express, are they specifically considered to be nedarim that a husband can be made for? But when it comes to a father, it makes no difference what the neder is. The father's involvement is not a relationship. The father's involvement is much more similar to chinuch and preventing a child from getting caught up in things. That's something else. So we understand that there's different bases to the power of a father and the power of the Baal. That is expressed even in the concept of kodmim, right? So where it comes to a Baal, there is no power for kodmim, and the only reason that the orus can be made for is because he's together with the father, and the father has the ability to deal with anything that a child has said, even though it was only the onat nedarim, which means she was still a ketana vis-a-vis other issues, and there would never be any chiv on these nedarim, you see. So that's the Rambam. As I said, everybody disagrees with the Rambam because of the Sifri. But if you look through the Gemara, you won't find any hint that all of this is referring to a father as well. So, Eilu Nedarim Shehu Mefer. Dvarim Sheyesh Behem Inui Nefesh. So, things that have to do with somehow or other that she affects herself adversely with. What is that based on? It's based on the Pasuk. This is the Kol Neder, the Kol Shvuat Isur, that is La'anot Nefesh, Isha Yekimenu, the Isha Yeferenu. You see very clearly in the Pasuk that this is a reference to a husband. And it's a reference to a husband only in the context of Inui Nefesh. To say that that's true, even though the Pasuk talks about Isha Yekimenu and Isha Yeferenu, that that's true about an Av, is really a stretch. And therefore, says the Rambam, the Gemara doesn't back that stretch. Fine. Now, the Mishnah gives examples. And the examples make no sense. Because what the Mishnah embarks upon is a structure of Inui Nefesh that discusses not what the neder is, but what the t'nai is about the neder, which is really crazy. She says, Imer Chatz. What's the neder? What's the neder? What do you mean? If I wash, then what? If I wash. I mean, we're not interested in the t'nai, are we? We're interested in the neder. This, of course, the Gemara is going to ask, what in the world is the Mishnah talking about? So she says, if I take a bath, if I don't take a bath, if I am mitkashet, if I'm not mitkashet. Now, there's two different issues of mitkashet, as we're going to see in the sugya. Mitkashet, on the one hand, is referring to externals, not intimate kishut. So ani et kashet would generally be referring to putting on eyeshadow or putting on makeup. So that would be an issue that could be inui. But there's another concept of mitkashet, which is intimate kishut, which is pubic area kishut. That is a different issue. That is beino leveino. That is not necessarily something that is a getter of Inui Nefesh, but may certainly affect the husband's relationship in terms of intimacy. That's not what we're talking about over here, as we'll see, because this would complicate Rabbi Yossi Shita that we're about to discuss. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Ein Eilu Nidre Inui Nefesh. What in the heck? We don't even know what the Nedarim are. Why is he talking about Ein Eilu Nidre Inui Nefesh? Shouldn't he have said, Ein Eilu Tna'ei Inui Nefesh? I mean, like, what is he referring to? This whole Mishnah is so weird. I'll tell you what a neder of Inui Nefesh is. Suppose she would say, Konam Perot HaOlam Alai. So that, Areza Yachola Fair. If I will not eat anything that the world produces, yeah, I would say that's pretty Inoy Nefesh. That's going to get you somewhere really fast. So, okay, so that's called Inoy Nefesh. Now, all of a sudden, he switches from an analysis of the condition to the analysis of a neder. Did this make sense to you? I mean, you never even told me what it makes no sense at all. The mission is absolutely wild. And furthermore, there's another issue. Because when he stresses Ein Elu Inui Nefesh, why didn't he just say Ein Elu Nedorim Shabal Mefer? Because apparently what he's trying to say is, these are not Inui Nefesh, but they may come under some other idea, namely Beino Levena. But you weren't talking about Beino Levena. You were talking about Sheyesh Bem Inui Nefesh. Wrong! That's an entirely different issue. To say that not being mitkashet is inui nefesh, I disagree, but it certainly is going to affect her relationship with her husband. If she says, I can't use mouthwash, so then that's pretty bad. And if that's the case, then I'm just saying the way to look at that is that you should have introduced this with the problem of Beino Levena and not with the problem of Inui Nefesh. So no matter where you look, the Mishnah makes no sense. It doesn't mention what the Neder is. It talks about a Tanai. Rabbi Yossi refuses to discuss the Tanai and talks about an invisible Neder. And then whatever that invisible Neder was, he claims not that the Baal can't be Mefer, but that this is the wrong reason for the Baal to be Mefer. And then when he says, I'll tell you what a Neder Inui Nefesh is, he ignores the Tanai and he goes directly to the Neder. So, I mean, it's just like, it's completely not understandable, the Mishnah. This is like a massive performance by Rebbe. I mean, woo! Man, you really overdid your hand this time. What are you talking about? So anyway, that would be, in my opinion, says Rabbi Yossi, that would be Nidre Inui Nefesh. All right, very good. So she says, Peirot Olam Alai, then he can be made for that. But what if she only said, Peirot Medinazo Alai, this country's produce. Now, what do you mean, this country's produce? Which country's produce? The country that she's living in? Or some country's produce. Suppose she lives in Eretz Yisrael and she says, anything from South Africa is Osir Alai. Now, is that considered to be Nidrui Inui Nefesh? That depends if she comes from Joburg, right? That we're going to see. That indeed is not called Inui Nefesh, says Rabbi Yossi, apparently. Because in that case, he can always buy peros from a different country. If she says the peirot of my makolet are usur alai, I am sick of standing in line in that makolet. Anything bought in that makolet, I'm not going to eat. It's usur alai. You could certainly see people walking out of a supermarket with that attitude, right? So, okay, what's the din over there? Well, if that's the case, so then, bepashtus, you can't be made for. But how about if the only sucker in the area is the owner of that makolet who allows you to have a charge account in his makolet? Oh, what a sucker. But he allows you to have a charge account in that makolet. Nobody else allows you to charge. And what happens if you don't have any money? And one day, you need food, and nobody's allowing you to buy food. Now, that's Inui Nefesh, right? So in that case, let's say that's the only makolet that you can be sure you can always buy in. So then you could be mefer. All of this was Divrei Rabbi Yossi, which why do we need to repeat? Because obviously, as we'll see, this could have been the words of the Chachomim. But now let's get back to this again. The Ron points out that if even the local makolet is going to be your problem. And we don't say to you, well, go find some other sucker. There's one born every minute. Okay, so this makolet won't give you credit. You'll find somebody. Travel to the next town. That's not considered to be an alternative. So Kol Shekein, if she said any peirot from this country in which I'm living, that's not going to be considered to be a proper that you have options. There's no options. Therefore, Taina Zderan, if you say Medina Zo, it doesn't mean this country. It means this that she's pointing to, this particular country. I will never eat Turkish figs. Okay, fine. So buy your American figs. I will never eat American and Turkish figs. So buy your Israeli figs. But the point is, if she says, I won't eat figs from Israel, and that's where she's living, that's certainly going to be a heck of a lot worse than saying, I won't eat figs that I bought in a certain makolet, right? So that's the point. That obviously is not referring to our country. Okay, so now the Gemara has to explore what in the world the Mishnah means, because the Mishnah, as we pointed out, makes no sense. So let's talk about the first point. The Mishnah introduces the idea, these are the nedarim that a Baal can be made for, and it says, inui nidre, specifically nidre inui nefesh. But, I mean, that's not an accurate presentation, and that's exactly what causes the issue with Rabbi Yossi later on, who says, well, these are not nidre inui nefesh. But they would be dvarim shebeino levina. But you never talked about beino levina, for God's sake. So why does the Mishnah only focus on nidre inu nefesh? Are you trying to say that nidre inu nefesh only huda mefer? But if these nidarim would not have inu nefesh, then a baal would not be able to be mefer? But the Braita says, why do you think it says bein ish li ishto bein av levito? Milamed, here's another riot to the Rambam. Mila made in the very pasuk that the Sifrei brings as a raya that a father is also limited to dvarim ben olaveina, says the Gemara Malamid Shahabal made for nedarim shebein olaveina. A husband, which again is the Rambam says only a husband, father's not limited at all, but a husband can be made for nedarim that affect the relationship between the two of them, despite the fact that it isn't inui nefesh. So why did you say that it has to be nidre inui nefesh? No, obviously I don't disagree with the idea. The Mishnah is not trying to tell us that there's no dinim of nedarim beino levina. That's ridiculous. Of course there's nedarim beino levina. So why did it say this? Of actually, halen v'halen mefer. You can be made for both nidre inui nefesh and nedarim shebeino levina. The difference is that nidre inui nefesh, being as they are not functions of her relationship to him, those hafaras are different than the hafaras that are things that relate specifically to him. And therefore, inui nefesh, when you're made for it, the neder is gone because it's an objective problem in the neder. But dvarim shebeino levina, the neder isn't gone. It only is not able to affect you. Now, let's say that this husband goes ahead and divorces his wife. What happened to that neder? So if she said something that affects their relationship, she's not going to use mouthwash, if we assume that that's not called inui, right? Or even get more intimate, you know, she's not going to shave her pubic area. So he doesn't like that, and he says that he's made for that neder. Now she goes ahead and you divorce her, she goes and marries somebody else. Is that neder chal? And for that matter, what if you go ahead and you remarry her? In having divorced her, the neder went back into effect. Now you're a baal, you can't be made for a kibbutzim. That's the big difference. And therefore, the Mishnah wants to talk about a lenedarim, that a baal is made for permanently. That's what it means. It doesn't mean these are the only nedarim that a baal can be made for. Therefore, inui nefesh, the neder is gone. But if there's no inui nefesh, and he's only being mefer because it's dvarim shebeino levina, then only so long as she is married to him, kide'ita tachtoi havya hafara. So when is she is tchotei, she's within the boundaries of the relationship, then the beino levina matters. But the moment that he's megarisher, it's not that the neder wasn't there, it's that he prevented the neder from affecting them. And therefore, at that moment, chayel alea nidra. So therefore, what's the meaning of the Mishnah? Elu nedarim, which are the nedarim? Sha'abal mefer, meaning, sha'abal mefer li olam, and that are not going to be affecting anybody else? And that is really the only thing that's true. So therefore, you're jumping to conclusions when you said, what, you mean he can't be made for Nedarim Shebein Olaveinah? I'm not coming to tell you all of the Nedarim that a Baal can be made for. I'm coming to tell you the Nedarim that a Baal can universally made for, and that will be nogea any relationship in the future. It doesn't matter whether she is in my Rishus or not in my Rishus. So therefore, Bidvarim, some, by the way, take out this because it doesn't add anything. Bidvarim shebeino leveinah, she'ein be'minui nefesh. That's what the Mishnah is not talking about. Yesh be'minui nefesh, then the neder will never be chal again. Okay, I mean, that's what you said before. Says the Gemara, wait, we know that that's not true. Now, this we have seen before. And that seems to be a direct contradiction to what you just claimed. You're claiming that dvorim she'ein bem inui nefesh, that if you're telling me that once he gives her a get, then ki megarish l'chayel Allah, even though he was made for it. That's what you're claiming. There's a Mishnah that says beferish not like that. Because, as we've discussed this Mishnah before, even the Mishnah's later, the Mishnah says that in the event that the woman makes a neder asring ma'aseh yadeha on her husband. So it says, the Tanakhama says, there's no need to be mefer, because anyway, you have the right to that ma'aseh yadayim, which Moshe Forman, this is one of the Gemaras you were looking for. So he has a right to those ma'aseh yadayim, and therefore she cannot asr it on him. And Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Nuri said, no. You better be mefer. Why? Because, I mean, what happens if you divorce her and then they become usher and then you're not going to be able to remarry her, you know? So best thing to do is to be mefer. What does that mean? That if you were mefer, that then it will not go into effect even if you divorce her. Beferish. Alma, I mean, you see from that Mishnah 100% that if you were mefer, then even if you were megarish, it doesn't matter. So alma ki megarish la umefla mikora havi hafara. That hafara remains in effect, and that's the whole point of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. You better not leave the netter around. You better go after that netter so that it won't come back to haunt you. But you see that you can prevent the netter from going back to haunt you. Exactly. Which is the opposite of what you just claimed. You just claimed that only nidre in a nefesh are you able to cancel in a way that won't come back to haunt you. But nidorim that are benola veina, the hafara will not be able to be universal. They'll always come back to haunt you if you divorce her. So there goes that. You're right. Okay, let's start again. Truth is, all of the nidorim would be non-hauntable nidorim after hafara. But there's still a difference. Okay, what's the difference? The difference is like this. Obviously, the Mishnah allows you to be made for permanently either nidorim shebeino leveina or nidorim sheyesh bem inui nefesh. They will not come back to haunt you. But the question is, will they come back to affect somebody else? That's the point. So let me ask you something. He's made for a neder beino leveina. So you're going to say, well, it didn't come back to haunt me. Of course it didn't come back to haunt you. Because part of beino leveina is that when you divorce her, you're able to remarry her at any point, right? But now what happens if she goes ahead and marries somebody else? The moment she marries somebody else, she's never going to be allowed to marry you. Ever. Because that is exactly the Torah's Isser of Magzir Grushato. Now, at that moment, the neder ceases to have any implications for you. Because anyway, it can't come back to haunt you, because she can't come back to haunt you. And therefore, forget about the neder. Now, how about her new husband? Her new husband has got a problem. If it was Nidroi Inui Nefesh, he doesn't have a problem. Because when he marries her and finds out that she made a neder never to eat any peres, not his problem, because her previous husband was made for that neder, and that was a neder of inui nefesh, right? So that's fine. That's permanently gone. But now when he discovers that she is refusing to take care of herself in intimate ways, which does affect him, and it turns out that that was a netter that existed before, and it was a netter that was moved far through a previous husband, or the previous husband's hafara of Beino Leveina, is none of my business. It leaves the netter to be chal on her when she marries somebody else. That's different. And therefore, when the Mishnah says over here that it is only Nidre Yinui Nefesh, that's true. But that's because what the Mishnah is essentially saying is, the following are Nidorim that the Baal can be mefer, Bein La'atzmo, Bein La'achirim, and he takes off any impact of that Neder on her, no matter what. Doesn't matter whether she's married to him at that point or married to somebody else. And that is only Nidre Yinui Nefesh. So, Ela Nidre Yinui Nefesh, she's able to be mefer, Bein La'atzmo, Bein La'achirim. But if Ein Be'em Yinui Nefesh, he cannot be meferet in ways that will save her relationship with another man, because it's not Beino Leveina at that point. He'll never be able to remarry her. And therefore, the way to read the Mishnah is Hachi Katani. Elu Nidarim Shuhu Mefer, Bein La'atzmo, Bein La'achirim, only Nidarim Sheyesh Be'em Yinui Nefesh. Now, you said, okay, I'll give you an example. Im Erchatz. What the heck are you talking about? What's the netter? Don't tell me what the condition is. What did she say? Hey, Chikomar, what did she say? I can't believe you're trying to tell me a netter that is not a netter.